I believe the statistics are 70% of kids growing up in homes today are growing up in homes without fathers. What that means is that they're growing up without a picture of God. Now, I understand that not everybody's home life was perfect, even those who had fathers, you know, or still have fathers, and maybe you didn't have a father who portrayed the picture that God probably would have portrayed, and so we understand that there are those situations, okay? But in the bigger picture, dads are awesome because they are supposed to be our first picture of God, and how many know God is awesome? God, the Bible says, is good. God, the Bible says, is love. We know that God is strong. We know that He is light and all those things and so much more. But this morning, I found a quality that I want to just kind of own in on for just a little while this morning. Is that going to be okay? Amen. I see Pastor Kyle shaking his head. It's wonderful to have all the Russell family, you know, here taking up a whole row. And Pastors Randy and Kyle, that pastor of the Way Church in Elk City right here in Western Oklahoma. Let's give them a big round of applause. And so glad to have them. We love those guys. Randy grew up in this church, and Kyle came here while he was in college and felt the call of God and went off to Bible school and came back and is tearing it up in Elk City and Cordell, and we're so proud of them. Thankful for Corey, you know, who was also raised in this church. I'm not going to leave you out, brother, okay? He was probably sitting there like, I was here too, you know. Father's Day, and his lovely wife, Brett, and all their children and grands. We're just thankful to have them, of all of you that are here today. You got your Bibles this morning? I hope you do. Turn with me all the way to Genesis chapter 1. I made it easy. Guys don't like to read. I'm like, come on, we'll just go a couple pages in. All right. Genesis 1, verse 26. When you get there, say amen. Say, oh yeah. Oh goodness. I tell you what. We're going to have fun this morning. Is that okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let me read that again because it's going to set the foundation for the rest of the morning, okay? And God said, now here's what you have to understand. We have something around here that we call the law of first mention. And typically, this principle is this. The first time you see something mentioned or referenced in the Bible, it sets a precedence throughout the rest of Scripture. Okay? So we see here that the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. How many know God is awesome? Come on, God is good, God is love, God is strong. But did you know that God is also a dreamer? Did you know that? Listen, we see it right here. Before God created us, Genesis tells us that He dreamed about us. He imagined us. The word used here is He envisioned us, okay? Now, what we have to understand is dreams, visions, imaginations, those are all synonyms. Now, when I say God dreamed of us, as a father of four, if there's fathers here, you know, Mondo's got that beautiful baby girl, and I know because being a father myself, that when those babies, you find out your wife's pregnant, what do? You begin dreaming about that child. You begin envisioning what that child will look like. You begin imagining what they will be and what they will become and when they will walk and what their personalities are. You know, we're thankful to have, you know, three grandchildren, Cam and Taeus, you know, little one, Jarek. I tell you what, he is a little gorilla. He is. I mean, he's just a little silverback. All he knows how to do is grunt and growl and make sounds, which is very typical of boys. But I love to hear all those. And I'm like, man, what is this kid going to do one day? And we just sit around, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, and you dream, you imagine, you envision what they will grow up to do, right? And think about it. Are we God's children? Are we God's children? Are we created in His image? In His likeness? And guess what? If God's a dreamer, we're dreamers too. If God is good, turn around and say, tell somebody, say, you're good. Come on, tell somebody else to say, you're awesome. Come on now, tell somebody. I think sometimes we focus on the negative sometimes. Well, I'm not that good, I'm not that awesome, and I'm not that loving. Listen, if you are a child of God, made in His image, in His imagination, okay, dreamed up, didn't He tell Jeremiah, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, I had called you, I had ordained you. How can you do that? God had to look ahead into the future and dream and imagine. He's going to be a prophet to the nations. Man, and again, that's nothing new. We do that naturally with our own children. And guess what? God did that to us. Pastor Cesar Castellanos, who's pastor of 30,000 member church, International Charismatic Mission in Colombia, said this. He said, a dream is an idea from the heart of God dropped into the mind of man as a goal to be achieved. Let that set in there for just a second. My mom came in this morning. She said, what are you preaching on? I said, I'm preaching about dreams again. We've done that several times. God's given us a lot of revelation in that area. She said, do you always remember your dream? I said, no, not always. I said, but, you know, occasionally, you know. But the key here is that we all dream. We all dream. We may not always remember those dreams, okay? But sometimes God will drop something in our spirit that we cannot forget. It doesn't matter how good you are at remembering. And people ask me sometimes, they say, Pastor Scott, how do I know that my dream is from God? Well, number one, it's got to line up with the Word, right? Because the Bible says in Psalms 138 that Jesus has magnified His Word above His very name. You have to understand that. So number one, does it line up with the Word? And number two, does it bring glory to God? And number three, can you put it on the shelf and just forget about it? Because I've had a lot of silly dreams that I just end up forgetting about. But there's a couple of things over the last 20 or 30 years that God's dropped in my spirit that I can't forget. I can't lay it down. I can't forget about it. And if you've ever wondered, is my dream from God? Put it on the shelf. Try to forget about it. Try to let it go. And if you keep walking back over there and picking it up and opening it up and flipping through the pages, it's a very good chance it's something God has put in your spirit as a goal to be achieved. Do you understand that this morning? You know, God speaks to us. This is important. This is important because there's so many people that think dreams are inconsequential. They think they're simply a byproduct of REM sleep or too much pizza. Can I get an amen? How many's had those type of dreams? Where you're flying with Superman or something like that, you know, and you're just like, man, God, is that you? And God's like, no, that's pepperoni. That's what that is, right? I mean, we have to be realistic and we have to remember that all dreams are not from God, okay? All dreams are not from God. That's why you have to measure them. The Bible, again, listen, if we would just get in here, the Bible explains Himself, says test and try every spirit to make sure they are from God. Because sometimes even the enemy himself presents himself as an angel of light. We got people in the church praying, if I could just see an angel. Look, everybody I read in the Bible that saw an angel said they fell down dead. Or fell down as dead. It was so scary. It was so awesome. I mean, they just didn't know what to do. They just fainted. They just collapsed. And we're praying, I don't care to see an angel, to be honest with you. Unless it's supposed to happen. I'm not praying for them. Because the Bible says this, that even Satan himself can transform into an angel of light and deceive people. Right? I want to walk by the Word. I want to walk by faith. I want to walk by trusting God, not by what I see. Come on, not by what I see. How many know we walk by faith, not by sight, okay? Here's the deal. Obviously, all dreams are not from God. The Bible says test and try every spirit to make sure whether it's from God. But without a doubt, we know that dreams and visions are one way God communicates with us. I believe God has to communicate with some of us in dreams and visions because we won't be still. Anybody got a child was never still? Is she talking about you? Mom said, yeah. Just going, 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 going until they pass out, and then you got to carry them to bed? And then they wake up at 5:30 the next morning ready to go and do it again. Right? Some of you are like that. You're just like sitting on G waiting for O. And God's like, man, I can't wait till they get to sleep where I can talk to them. Because we're busy. We got to be doing something, right? All the time. Listen, take a break every now and then. Get some rest every now and then. Do you know what's interesting? That out of all creation, out of all 7 days of creation, do you know when God created man? Do you know what day? The sixth day. God created man on the sixth day. Now, what is the day of rest? The seventh day. Guess what your first day of work looked like? Nothing. God could have created you on day one and says, come on, I need help with the stars and the sun and the moon and the cows and the birds and the oceans. And he did all that. And then he created man. And when man said, what are we going to do tomorrow? God's like, we're going to rest. Woo, come on, come on, come on. What do you mean we're going to rest? Sometimes guys get all wrapped up in what they do instead of who they are. See, we're human beings. We're not human doings. Come on now. And you were created to get some rest every now and then. And do you know what we see from Genesis? That it was on that seventh day, the Bible said, in the cool of the day, that they walked and talked with God in the garden. You imagine that type of fellowship with the Creator? Man, you say, well, God, what's that? God, what's that over there? God, what? We need that time because God wants to speak to us. God is a relational God. Genesis chapter 15, God used a vision to remind Abraham that he would have a son and be the father of many nations. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob had his famous dream of a ladder reaching to heaven, right? They made a song out of it, Stairway to Heaven. You hear that? Yeah. Some of the greatest things on planet Earth come from the Bible. You guys have to understand this. Let me tell you something. Not that that song's the greatest thing on planet Earth, but anyway. Anybody else grow up here in the 70s and the 80s? Okay. Let's keep going. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph's dream showed that his family would one day bow to him in respect. His brothers didn't appreciate that, and they didn't appreciate that dream, and so they sold him as a slave. Way to go, brothers, right? Matthew chapter 1, Joseph, Mary's boyfriend, you know, at the time, they were engaged. He was like, no, wait, can you imagine this? Joseph and Mary are engaged, and Mary comes to him and is like, I have something to tell you. Hey, Joey, can we go out to dinner tonight? I've got some news I need to share. Sure, Mary. I'll pick you up at 8. What's the news? I'm pregnant. But don't worry. It's from God. Any man in here with any amount of common sense believe that crap? No, I'm serious. Like, if the person you were engaged to comes, you'd be like, I'm pregnant, but you know it wasn't yours? You'd be like, what? And the Bible says that he was about to put her away. He was like, uh-uh. See, back in those days, engagements were very strict and formal. There had to be another formal divorce, procedure to go through. But the Bible says in Matthew 1 that God told Joseph in a dream. Everybody say a dream. He spoke to him. He communicated. He said, look, this child is mine, and you're going to raise it. And that gave him the peace that he needed. Matthew chapter 27, during Jesus' trial, Pilate's wife had a dream. All the women said, amen. Sometimes God speaks through our wives. There was no amens on that one. Maybe not. Maybe not. God gave Pilate's wife a dream, convincing her that Jesus was innocent and that Pilate should have nothing to do with his case. The book of Revelation is basically a whole vision or dream that God gave John. Listen, while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. These are dreams we should all be familiar with. Another dream we should all be familiar with was delivered on August 28th, 1963. Whether you were alive at the time or not. like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Baptist preacher, civil rights leader. He said, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. He goes on to say, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Did you know Dr. King's dream, like all dreams, paint a picture of what we are to see in the future? That's what dreams are. Dreams are like a commercial for a motion picture. It just kind of gives you a snapshot of what's to come. You may not understand everything. You may not see every detail, but it gives you a picture. Think about it. How many's ever went to see a movie because of a 30-second preview? And he's like, I like the way that looks. That looks great. We got to go see that. And that's what dreams do. Dreams kind of get you excited. And they're like, ooh, that looks good. That looks scary. That looks, you know, intriguing. Let's go, let's go, let's go. That's what dreams do. They give you a picture of a future that may not be present at the time. And then once you see that picture, you have to ask yourself, listen, what is it going to take to make that happen? See, if you believe God's given a dream to you, if you believe God's given you something, put something, then you have to ask yourself, you're a steward of that. We're more than stewards of just money and time. We're stewards of the words of God. We're stewards of the things of God, of communications from God. And so we have to ask ourselves, what am I going to do to make this happen? Because God gave that to me. Then you got to put everything you got behind it. Why? Because dreams may very well be that idea from God that He wants us to achieve, that He wants you to achieve. So what dream has God dropped in your heart? When God gets ready to do something, did you know He doesn't act? He doesn't leave the throne. He doesn't come to earth. You know what He does? He does what He did in Genesis. When God gets ready to do something, He speaks. He speaks. Let there be light. Let us make man. He speaks. Who does He speak to? Men and women through dreams and visions or His word as goals to be achieved. We've preached about dreams before and we've had many discussions because of those. And one of the things we realize is that we meet a lot of people who say, but Pastor Scott, I don't have one. I don't have a dream that I think God put in my spirit. That it's a goal. I don't know if And here's what I want you to know. If you're here today and you feel like you don't have that God-given dream, then borrow one. Listen to me. Then borrow one. My wife, we've had many communications about this. She said, honey, I think God put me here to steward your dream. I think God put me here to be an assistant, to help you. She is an administrative genius. I get lost in Weatherford. We were talking about geography and those things earlier. Listen, the Maps app is a gift from heaven. Amen. For somebody like me who's been lost more times than I can count. My mother is sitting here as a witness too. She also came to me and she said, I don't feel like I have that God-given dream. She said, but I feel like I'm supposed to support yours too. And I got two of the most important women in my life that are here saying, I don't know if I have a God-given dream, but I'll borrow yours. I'll help you with yours. And if you don't feel like you have one, you got to find somebody that's got one and you got to get behind them. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? Do you think everyone else, listen to this, do you think everyone else at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. on that day in 1963 had the same dream as Dr. King? There's no way. Do you know why? Because God speaks to us as individuals. And there's things that God has called you to do that He's not calling others to do. But what He will do is He will surround you with supporters and allies and people that will help you move that forward. That's what happened when Dr. King shared his dream. It resonated with people who wanted the same thing. That dream created a movement that caused great progress in the area of civil rights and racial reconciliation. Obviously, we're not all there yet. We got some work to do, but for God's sake, please don't believe everything you're watching on TV right now. Are you listening to me? For the most part, Dr. King's dream was the catalyst of what we see today. Did you know that he wasn't even going to share that? Did you know that wasn't even in his speech? That was improvised. The whole I have a dream part, improvised. It wasn't even in his notes. And he worked all night with a team of writers to finish at 4 o'clock in the morning that he was supposed to speak. And they put him last and they said, "You got 5 minutes." Dr. King read from his prepared text for most of his speech, which relied on the Bible, the Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence, just like President Kennedy did a few months earlier. And as he came to the end of his speech, he came to a sentence that wasn't quite right. I can relate. I do that in my messages sometimes. I'm like, where'd that come from? That doesn't sound right. He had planned to introduce his conclusion, but then gospel singer Mahalia Jackson, who was seated up front, who had just sang right before he comes to the stage, saw he was kind of at a sticking point, and she yelled out, "Tell him about the dream, Martin." Ooh, look at there. It says, King looked over the crowd, as he later explained in an interview. And he said, "All of a sudden, this thing came to me that I've used before. I have a dream. And I just felt that I wanted to use it here." And here's what he said. He said, "I say to you today, my friends, that even though we face difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream." Right? I like how honest he was. He said, "We still face difficulties of today and tomorrow, but I still have a dream." See, what does a dream do? It gives you a picture of a future that may not be your present right now. But it gives you something to shoot for, right? It gives you that picture there. And man, after he said that, he was off and running, delivering one of the most famous speeches in American history. It wasn't even planned. You had a dream, you better tell somebody. Hello? That's the power of a dream. A dream moves you. It inspires you. It awakens your passion. It fills you with hope and pumps your life with purpose and meaning. That's why I said if you don't have a dream, you need to find somebody that's got one and get some inspiration, get some purpose. There's some people still running around here saying, "I don't even know why I'm here." Listen, if you got a dream, you do. If you don't have a dream, you better go find somebody to give you some purpose and some meaning and some inspiration. And it will. John Maxwell says, "A dream is an inspiring picture of the future that energizes your mind, will, and emotions, empowering you to do everything you can to achieve it." Amen. Come on. I'm a long way from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but I have a dream too. It's a dream I've had for over 25 years now. It's a dream we had before we even came to Weatherford. When Pastor Marquita and I felt that God was putting in that dream, that idea in our heart to plant a brand new church in a small Main Street community, which I didn't need a place to preach. I was on staff at the church we grew up in that had just moved to a brand new building, a gymnasium right there in the busy part of South Oklahoma City. We had just bought our home and I bought my first brand new pickup ever. It's a fire engine red Chevy Silverado. Life was good. Two little boys, and man, I tell you what. And then God drops this dream. God drops this dream in our heart to leave all of that and go to a place where he hadn't even told us yet and plant a brand new church in a small Main Street community. You know what the first thing he did? He gave me a vision of a Main Street and a vision of the inside of a building. Well, what I did, I was licensed with a major denomination back then, so I picked up the phone because I'm young. Right? Still young, but I was younger then. Anybody younger 25 years ago? I was young then, so I pick up the phone and I'm looking for counsel. I'm looking for spiritual fathers. I'm looking for wisdom. I call the home missions director for our denomination, the one responsible for planting churches and educating pastors. And I said, "Pastor so-and-so," I said, "I believe," and which we've preached in his church. We were very familiar with one another. I said, "You know, this is Scott Page, you know," and I said, "Mark, we did not feel like God's putting it in our heart to start a new church." I said, "What do we need to do?" There was a little bit of silence at the end of the phone. And he says, "Well, you got to have a burden." See, back in those days, we used to call visions burdens. Like it was something bad. I was like, "Well, sir, I think I got one. I think God gave me a couple of visions, a couple of pictures." I think, "Well, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to have a burden." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But can you help me? How do I start a church? I've never done this before. I mean, this is the office, right, for starting churches? How do I do it?" "Well, make some copies and pass out some flyers." I said, "Yeah, but don't you have any books for me to read? Can I come sit in your office and you give me some advice from your years in the ministry?" "Well, all I can tell you is you got to have a burden." And let me tell you something. Before the back in those days, phones were on cords. 27 years ago, before the phone hit the receiver, God spoke to me like it was an audible voice and said, "One day you'll be responsible for making sure that never happens again." Not when a young minister. And man, for the last 25 years, I've been falling over myself trying to figure that out and what it looks like and making more mistakes than anything. But I knew God put the dream there 27 plus years ago of a place. Everybody say a place. A place that will train people in ministry, and not just train and equip and resource them, but in a relational capacity. Do you understand? That's not something that people even today, 25 years later, are extremely familiar with. Kind of reminds me of the story of Noah a little bit. When God got ready to do something in the earth, he didn't come down. What did he do? He spoke to a people. Who? Mr. Noah and Mrs. Noah and the kids. Right? He spoke to them about building a place of safety, a place for an emergency that was about to happen. Think about that. God asked the people to build something no one had ever seen. Now, maybe you understand this, maybe you don't. But when God came and spoke to Noah and said, "I'm going to flood the earth," it had never rained on the earth before that. The Bible is clear in Genesis. Go back and read it. The earth was watered from springs from underground. So there was no rain. So when God's like, "I'm going to send rain and flood the earth," it's like, "What? Rain? What's that?" So understand that he asked people, everybody say, "That's me," to build something no one had ever seen. A boat. Why do you need a big old ship in the desert? He asked people to build something no one had ever seen because there was a threat coming no one could understand from a source that nobody could perceive. And the result was they built an ark, a vehicle of salvation for a whole generation. See, the dream God's given us here at Liberty Church, I believe, is also an ark. It's not an ARK, it's an ARC. What's an ARC? I believe it's an Apostolic Resource Center. Apostolic just means referring to the New Testament. How many know we live in the New Testament? We have new and better promises. We have the God living inside of us today. It's not according to the law, it's according to grace and power. Yes. Hello. It's an Apostolic Resource Center that equips and trains people. How many of you know what that is? How many has ever seen one of those? "Pastor Scott, I thought that's what we're the church. I thought that's what the people were building the church." No, people aren't building the church. People are the church. We don't build the church. This is a building. But what God has called these people to do is build something, not just this building that we call a church, but it's to build a resource center for our region and maybe even our globe. listen, that will train and equip and send and receive ministers and peoples and missionaries from all over. We started calling in missionaries a couple of years ago, not too long after we got the new campus. And now every fall in November, we host missionaries from all over the world. And we help them. We encourage them. We pay for their hotels. We bless them. We feed them. We pray for them. Why? Because they're our frontline fighters. With all this COVID stuff going on today, we got frontline heroes, frontline heroes, frontline heroes. Let me tell you another frontline hero, and that's the unsung missionaries that are out there in the darkest parts of the world risking, there's not just risking a virus, I'm talking about risking penalty of death, beheading, dismemberment, torture, and it's happening daily. And these are the fighters that we are bringing in for just a few days and loving on them and telling them how much we're thankful for them and asking them what they need. How many know it's one thing to go into all the world? You know, we've taken many trips from here as a people, but we can go to one place for just a few days and only accomplish so much. But what if instead of just a team of 10 people going to one place for a few days, what if we brought in 10 or 15 or 20 missionaries that are already having teams going all over the world? What if we ministered to them? What if we poured into them? What if we equipped them? What if we resourced them? You talk about multiplication. Oh, we need another missions trip. Yeah, missions are good because it exposes us to things that we may previously not have been exposed to. And I'm not talking about viruses or chikungunya. Only the Haiti people will understand chikungunya. It exposes us to what God's doing around the world. Because let me tell you something. America is not the salvation of the world. Jesus is. We understand America is 4% of the world's population. 4% of the world's population there. But God's blessed us and we're able to go. I say us, I mean American people from all over now. Actually, America is, I think, the third leading receiver of missionaries now. Do you know other countries are sending missionaries to America because they think we need it? And guess what? We do. We think we got it all wrapped up, you know, and they're like, oh, America needs some help. You know what I say? Come on! Because we do. Right? Come on. Think of our ark more like a modern day aircraft carrier. They had an ark made of wood. We got one made of steel. Yeah. Come on. You know, the aircraft carriers are air bases equipped with flight decks and facilities that carry and arm and deploy and recover aircraft. It's the capital ship in a fleet during times of war. Oh, man. Spiritually speaking, it's a base of operations. Legacy Park out there represents so much more than just a new home, a new church, a new home for Liberty Church. It's a resource center that God's blessed us with. You know, people, listen to me. People say, I can't see it right now, Pastor Scott. I can't see it. I understand. Because the dream is a picture of what's going to be. A dream, a vision, an imagination is a picture that may not be a reality at the present, but it's going to be because it's in the heart of God, from the mind of God, dropped into your spirit or my spirit as a goal to be achieved. Guess what? We're moving full speed ahead. Now, full speed may be 1 mile per hour, but that's pedal to the metal. We went to the, and I'm going to wrap it up here. We went to the Tom P. Stafford Airport Museum a while back, and they had a link about this. It's probably about this big. One little link in the what do you call those things on tanks? Track? Yeah, so this was one link in the track of the platform that moved the space shuttle from where they build it to where they launch it. It has to move almost 5 miles, and guess how fast it moves? 1 mile per hour. I got a picture of it, and it's hanging in my office. 1 mile per hour. Big things take time. Big dreams take time. Are you with me? Are you with me? How many's ready to me to wrap this up? Here's what I've learned in 25 plus years. God-given dreams aren't easy. How many saw the Hollywood picture of Noah with Russell Crowe? How many saw the enemies and the people that came against him? When God gives you a dream, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have opposition. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's going to require everything you've got. I don't think Noah built that ark in 5 days. I don't think Noah built the ark in 5 years. Some people think it took 100 years. Can you imagine? God put something in you, and you're like, "Woo! This is going to happen fast." And 5 years later, it hadn't happened yet. 20 years later, it hadn't happened yet. 50 years later, you're still showing up, hammering nails in the wood. How many seen Evan Almighty? How many seen that depiction? My favorite part is where he hits his thumb about 27 times. And just went, you know Noah hit his thumb. Come on, come on. Listen, stop over-spiritualizing stuff that happened in the Bible. They smashed their thumb. They probably cussed a blue streak. I pray, oh no, Pastor Scott, they were, you know, spiritual. Well, you're spiritual. Oh, some of y'all got that. Some of y'all got that, didn't you? Woo! I better wrap it up. You can't quit when you get tired. You can't quit when you encounter opposition. You can't quit when it's taking longer than you thought. You can't quit when you're done. You gotta quit when it's done. Is the dream done? Is the dream that God gave you done? Have you seen it? See, we gotta keep going until we get to be like Paul and say, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the race. What God gave me to do, I'm done now. Woo, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, but not just for me, but for those also who follow my example. Listen, we haven't crossed the finish line. We're not done yet. We're not finished yet. We can't quit yet. We got to go full speed ahead. And if God's given you a dream, you can't quit either, because it's something from the heart of God that He dropped into your soul, into your mind as a goal to be achieved. It's something God wants done. It's something God wants done. And you can't quit. You can't stop. Real quickly, here's 5 things, and then we're going to be done. Number one, you cannot delegate your dream to somebody else. You can't hire dream contractors. Be like, hey, God gave me something really big to do, and I'm kind of busy already, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to let you do it. I'm just going to kind of feed you a little information every now and then. No, that's not how it works. Noah didn't hire contractors to build the ark. You know who built it? Him. And Shem and Ham and Japheth. Yes. Right? And probably the Mrs. Noah and whoever else was there. Maybe it was like Evan Almighty. Maybe the baboons was there and the elephants. Well, I don't know what it looked like. Probably not. It's probably just them. They built, knowing the opposition, knowing the enemy. See, you got to go back and you got to read that story again. The Bible says that at that time, all humanity, all, everybody say all. Can I just say this before we wrap it up? People read the story of Noah and they think, oh, the Bible says that the earth was just mean and people were mean, but Noah was a righteous man. No, he wasn't. Noah was a heathen. Noah was probably as bad. Listen to me, don't clock out just yet. We're almost done. The Bible says every man was evil all the time. Nothing in his heart was good. That's why I love the Russell Crowe depiction of that, because it was just nasty and dark. But see, remember, the Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament. How many in here did Jesus save because you were already righteous and good and wonderful and perfect? Anybody in here? No. And the Old Testament was a picture of what Jesus was going to do one day. The Bible said all man's heart was evil, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah wasn't picked because he was the best of the worst. Noah wasn't picked because he was righteous and good and godly. Noah was picked because God said, I need a man to bestow some grace on and make an example out of. And then he lavished his goodness upon him, which the Bible says the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Noah was just like everybody else, but God said, I'm going to give them grace. Just like in our time when Jesus looked at us, while the Bible says while we were still dead in our sin, Christ died for us. When God got ready to save you on a Sunday morning, he didn't look for the most holiest person in the church that day and be like, Brock, is it? All them heathens there, little old Brock, college man, just handsome and full of Jesus and never a bad thought, never a bad word, never nothing. And your dad's sitting right there. Right? Just a picture of righteousness and holiness. As all teenage boys are. Huh? 20, sorry. That makes all the difference, right? Yeah, you're not a teenager. You're a man. You're a freaking man. You need to get a picture of this. I'm not good enough, Pastor Scott, for God to give me one of those type of dreams. Where in the Bible do you read you got to be good enough for anything of God? On your best day, you were still a million miles away from God. On your best day. That's why we needed Jesus. Hello? And his grace. Not of works, lest we should boast. But the gift of God. God's like, man, Lena, woo, she got that reddish hair. She's smiling on the outside, but she's, you know. And what we're going to do, no, she's a good girl. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give her grace. Thank you. I'm going to drop some things in her heart. She didn't earn them. She don't deserve them. Anybody have kids that ever acted like a fool and then 5 minutes later after you disciplined, you went and got them ice cream? Yeah. You're like, what am I doing? What am I doing? They don't deserve this. But something in the heart of a father God or in the heart of a mother is like, I still want to bless. My kids don't deserve it. My kids, oh my God, my kids, I would sell them if it was legal, but it was, We had to have a family meeting during this COVID thing. We was like, look, things are getting tight. We're about to have to let one of you go, and we're not sure yet, but I just want to let you know. You better be praying. Stuff turns around quick. That didn't happen. Stand up to your feet. Yeah. You can't delegate your dream. Yeah, go ahead, stand up. Go ahead. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Don't check your bank account before you check your dream. Don't check your bank account before you check your dream. I can't afford that. I can't do that. I don't have the education to do that. I don't have the contacts to do that. I don't have the resources to do that. Listen, whose dream is this? God gave it to you. Hello? You know how many times I've had to walk around that property out there? I'm like, God, you got some bills to pay. God, you got mortgage coming up. God, we need... Hello? Number three, not everyone else will believe in or understand your dream. It's okay, God didn't give it to them. You ever been real excited to tell somebody something and it's like, oh... Ran into somebody at Walmart. Oh, you're looking good. Yeah, I lost about 20 pounds. Oh. What are you, on drugs or something? No, just been eating right, exercising. Oh. Everybody will be happy for you, and everybody will be happy for your dream. Find some people that will. Find some people that will. Because I promise you, if God's given you a dream, God's got a people to surround you that will support that dream. And together, woo, come on now. Yeah. Dreams take time. Number four, dreams take time. God spoke to the prophet, said, write the vision, write the dream, make it plain so people can run with it. And then he said in chapter 2, verse 3, the vision is yet, the dream is yet for an appointed time. He said, it's going to look like it's not ever going to happen, but there's an appointed time. It's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Last but not least, number 5, there will be failure. There will be blood. Disappointment, discouragement, all that. I condensed it. There will be fear. You going to stop? The people's talking about me on Facebook. They're just jealous. It's opposition. So you going to stop? Anybody in here played sports? Do you play by yourself or is there an opposing team? Do you run over the coach and be like, coach, there's people out there trying to keep me from scoring. I would sit you down. I'm like, sit down. You sissy. What does the real coach say? Run over their butts. Oh, Pastor Scott, you're not being very spiritual. In your worship guide, there's 3 questions, and we're going to pray. I want you to take these home, and I want you to look at these. Number 1 is, what is your dream? Number 2, what are your goals to get you to that dream? And number 3, you need to ask yourself this question. Are my daily actions and decisions getting me closer to my dream or farther away from it? Because if it's a decision that will take you farther away from your dream, then don't make it. People ask us all the time, how do I stay on track, Pastor Scott? Number 1, you have a goal, a vision, and then every decision you make hinges on, does that action make you closer to your goal or dream or drive you farther away? It's easy. If it takes you away from it, don't do it. If it brings you closer, then by God, get on it. Hello? What is your dream? What are your goals? And are your daily actions getting you closer or farther? I would love for you to go home and pray over this. I'd love for you to go home and write this out. And if you can't come up with a dream, then you need to find somebody to partner with. Because there is something that happens. There's a multiplied anointing that happens when you do that. And that, some of that jumps off onto you and those around you, and God equips and empowers you to do something that you never thought was possible. How many is ready to pursue those dreams? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the ideas, the imaginations, the things that you drop in our heart. Lord, we want to recognize those today as your ideas, your imaginations, as things that you want us to pursue and us to achieve, us to accomplish, not for our glory, but for yours. God, we acknowledge it wasn't because we're better or greater or smarter or more handsome or prettier than anybody else. God, it's your grace on us. You've lavished these ideas and dreams on us, Father. And so we know from where they come. And we know who gets the glory, Father. So I pray for a resurrection of dreams today. I pray for clarity of thought. God, I pray that as we go home, as we review these questions, God, you'll show us if there are dreams that you've given us, God. If not, that you'll show us where and how and who to partner with, God, to move those dreams forward. God, you'll give us the associated goals and that you'll help us to stay committed to the values and the decisions it's going to take to move us closer there. For that, we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, shake somebody's hand this morning. Tell them Jesus loves them. Maybe ask them what their dream is. And I hope we get to see you next week.